the light switch. Who watches over
you? Oh, yeah.
Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
I always have a little birdhouse in my soul. This song that just makes me just very excited and gets a lot of people that... there's a lot of people right now that are jumping up and down in their cars. Congratulations to you. For
I've
my
never
Dame
heard
of
this,
Giants fan.
I've never heard this song before.
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to get you the... You're going to go and listen to the They Might Be Giants brand new album, Flood. And you listen to one of the songs off that album during one of our... during the Devil Radio app ad. The minimum wage song is right on there. It's fantastic. I'm a huge fan. So... They may be Giants, right? So here I am. I'm a bartender in Chicago. Yeah. By the way, you're listening to Dueling Tangents. This is
we're going to dive down one right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm Brian. This is, and that's Luke over there.
Yes.
Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Give us your tangent on the elections. Becky Clayfish's lie. We're going to get into a nice, interesting bit about Kyle Rittenhouse in a minute, but
yeah.
I want to go down this really quick tangent about the Giants.
It.
So I'm there. I'm a bartender in Chicago. And so every now and then, like... you know, a big label will go out and make a big splash and try and get all the bartenders in the world to go and think of, let's say, Absolut. And they put together a huge event, you know, end of year type of thing. And maybe some people exceeded all their goals. So they made this huge event. They took over Grand Central Station downtown in Chicago.
Like, wow.
Huge venue, right?
Yeah.
And it's basically all the bartenders get a pass, and you have to work at a bar or whatever to get one of these passes type of thing. But they gave them to like pretty much every pub in the city, and Chicago has quite a lot of pubs. So we all show up there, and there's a couple thousand people there. And they said there's going to be a concert there, and we're guest artists. We're not going to tell anybody who. And so there's a lot of speculation.
Good buzz, a lot of buzz around who it was going
to
be.
A lot of speculation. And everybody went to who's playing in town that night. Well, U2 is playing in town that night. Every now and then they like to go and do something. But I don't know that U2 is going to go and play with Absolut, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. Nine Inch Nails was in town nearby with David Bowie. And then it was like, oh, maybe David Bowie or maybe
a lot of musical artists.
Pearl Jam.
Wow.
Eddie Vedder's from Chicago.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, Smashing Pumpkins is from Chicago. Maybe we'll see Smashing. And there's a stage and everything. And everybody, and the anticipation is building up. And everybody's starting to gather around and everything. And then someone comes out, hey, everybody, are you ready? Yeah, we've all been drinking Absolut for like a good... you know, a couple hours now, and most
everybody's
of us
good in prime. And, they don't. And, it doesn't even matter what the musical group is at this point.
Yes and no, because when they go, "Hey, everybody, it's They Might Be Giants," and literally it's just me and my best friend Vince stood up and went, "Yeah!" And like everybody else was like, "Huh?
Who is that?"
For those who don't, they did the theme song to Malcolm in the Middle.
Okay,
and they have a. They have a cartoony type of feel. They have they lend themselves to a lot of cartoons,
gotcha.
But they are also very wholesome and fun and a great listen. So get out there and get yourself a They May Be Giants brand new album, Flood.
Oh, fair enough. I'll have to give it a listen.
Yeah. So moving along, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We are in between tangents. We're going to go on a different one right now. We're going to talk about Kyle Rittenhouse, and maybe not in a way that you perhaps thought of in regards to this trial, because again, you know, who doesn't just, you know, decide to cross state lines, pick up a gun that's semi-automatic that you can't legally purchase on your own as well,
as a 17-year-old, correct?
Have your mom just drop you off, have a good time at the, you know, protest, son, go and defend somebody else's territory that you have no contact with anybody there at all.
Didn't ask you to be there either.
Nobody asked you to be there, and then you go in and then complain that somebody tried to take your weapon away from you, and then you shot them. We're not going to get into that part.
No.
We're going to talk about the surveillance done on the whole situation.
Yeah, so we got a text in from the Chuckster down in Racine. And
thank you, Chuckster.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. And you can be like the Chuckster. You can give us a call or text at 844-967-2789. But Chuckster texted in, and he sent us a link about from Kenosha News. On the Rittenhouse aspect and of the Rittenhouse trial, the aspect specifically of the overhead capabilities of government surveillance that is on display in the Rittenhouse trial. And he says he thinks it's worthy of a tangent, and we agree, Chuckster.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
We're going to talk about it. And so
what specifically are they referencing?
So we're going to dive in real quick there. I want to get Chuckster's question out for both us and the listening audience.
And yeah, so, I really like this thought.
And Chuckster asks, is this good for keeping us safe, or has law and order overstepped their boundaries? So I think that's a really important question, and it's kind of something, you know, we're talking about different things, and like you said, we're not going to talk about the other aspects of the Rittenhouse trial right now. We're going to talk about this specific, because in the trial, and this was news to me, because honestly, Brian, I've been trying to keep up with this trial, but there's been a lot of other things going on.
I'm waiting for it to wash out together, and then you can get the whole story.
Yeah, and so I haven't, like, I'll tune in here or there, but I haven't been sitting and just staring and watching every 8 hours of the live stream trial every single day.
And it's not that I don't care, but I don't have the emotional capacity for that right now.
And it's just, like I said, there's so many other breaking news stories that are going around. Like, yeah. It's finally infrastructure week. We've got a lot of things going on, elections here. And so I know that I can get information about this trial whenever I like, but I'm not sitting there and just listening to every detail because
also,
I don't need that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of, I don't know. I don't feel like there's a whole bunch of things like, oh, wow.
Right.
You know,
there's not a whole lot of shocking things. Right.
I didn't know that those people had harassed him for his entire life and he had a trigger warning at that. Like, I don't think anything is going to happen at that moment.
Right. But one of the interesting things that when I have looked into this story and seen where we were at, for what point in the trial it was and everything, was the amount of maps and video diagrams and recordings that we've had from flyover drones, essentially, and air surveillance that has indicated where all of the different interested parties in this trial were located and where they were walking, and the amount of information that the National Guard and law enforcement officers on the ground in Kenosha actually had on them that night, or in the nights of these protests.
And a lot of them aren't necessarily for prevention as much as documentation. I would imagine, because, I mean, it's hard to, because clearly they didn't use it in real time to respond to that, because Kyle just walked right through them.
Right. I mean, he walked up through with his hands up, pretty much just saying, "Hey, don't shoot at me. I don't know what he was quoted when he was walking away, but he walked away with his arms up, and then he went home to Antioch, Illinois that night.
Yeah.
And had this surveillance actually been monitored for prevention
in real time,
it probably would have ended differently. I don't know if Kyle would have went home that night.
But
do you
want that?
I don't know, because I think this is an interesting topic to talk about, though, because honestly, Brian, before this trial highlighted this key fact of this aspect of what they had of documentation that night, I didn't know this was going on.
You didn't know that they had drones up in the air?
I did not know that at protests that they were putting these drones up in the air and surveilling it and recording it for future later use.
Drones are...
I mean, at like, you go down the lakefront for Summerfest or something, you'll see people using drones down there to take videos of the lakefront and stuff. And so I know you can hear a drone, or you're going anywhere sightseeing, you can usually hear a drone in its presence. But I haven't gone to a protest like the Rittenhouse at that point they weren't identified as the Rittenhouse protest. It was it was people out in the streets expressing anger for the Jacob Blake shooting of 7 shots in his back from the Kenosha Police Department. And so when people were out protesting that, I was not down there in Kenosha that night, but I did not know that this would be something, the tactic that the government was using to monitor these protests.
Well, how do you think they're going to get all the information about the January 6th attacks? Do you want that? Would you have wanted them to have drones of the January 6th attacks, more of them?
Well, D.C. is an interesting one, but I'm sure the government, I'm hoping that they were.
Oh, yeah,
this
I'm
tactic.
Sure the government doesn't allow flying objects in the vicinity of any Capitol building.
Most of the whole Library Mall in D.C. is a no drone flying area.
Yeah.
Like, you're not supposed to bring anything close there for national security purposes.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, we do have the added benefit, though, of individuals posting their own live stream videos of them in the Capitol on January
6th. That's true,
too. Saying, hey, look at me. The FBI wants me.
But then, you know, there comes in the thing with the Apple phone that, let's say there was a terrorism thing and somebody had to get into the Apple phone and Apple was like, no, we're not going to let you unlock this phone.
Well, yeah, I agree that the tech providers shouldn't be giving skeleton keys away, because as soon as you make something like that, as soon as there's a universal key to unlock things,
uh-huh.
it's not. Oh, just there in already the government's is,
but they have the ability to, but they can't. Because once they do that, then who's
right?
Who
that's a Pandora. That's a Pandora's another, box that you all of a sudden open, and it's just like, ooh, what do you? Well, who could have that information then if you create that backdoor?
Yeah, and again, I don't want to create a ridiculous amount of fear involved in this because, you know, you got to think about there's got to be somebody watching at the other end. There's got to be somebody controlling at the other end. There's got to be somebody who watches the video and then edits the video. I mean, if you're just doing, let's say, a TV show like Big Brother, you already have like 15 cameras plus a production crew, plus an entire bank of editors, as well as a really, and that's a well-oiled machine, you know? So it's not like it's not like there's going to be armies of drones coming in to take it. It's not like there's going to be a drone outside of our window, you know, watching what we do. But
man, now I got one more thing to worry about around here.
But, you know, the extreme example of that is the movie Enemy of the State with Will Smith. That's been on lately. That's one of those, like, you can't, like, once it's on, I can't turn it off.
TBS has those ones.
And I'm not saying it's the most amazing movie ever. It's just one of those, like, Castaway. I can't, once it's on. Kong versus Skull Island. Just once it's on, it's on.
I'm trying to think of an example. I don't watch all that much TV anymore.
Caddyshack.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Don't do that. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there. But so Chuckster, with his text in, sent this news article from the Kenosha News. It essentially is an explainer. And so I'm going to dive a little bit into the piece here for some reading aloud. But the question is posed, has the government used planes to monitor past protests? And it point blank says yes, aerial surveillance of protests is actually very common. According to an August 2020 Air Force Inspector General report, the National Guard used surveillance planes to watch over demonstrations in Washington, D.C., Minnesota, Arizona, and California after George Floyd's death in Minneapolis that May. It goes on to say, the FBI used aircraft to monitor protests in Ferguson, Missouri, following the 2014 police shooting of Michael Brown, and in Baltimore to track protests following Freddie Gray's death in police custody in 2015. Democrat Barack Obama was president during both of those events. Law enforcement also used aerial surveillance to monitor a white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017 that turned deadly. Republican Donald Trump was president at that time. An Associated Press investigation in 2015 found that the FBI had built a fleet of at least 50 surveillance planes that flew more than 100 flights over 11 states during a one-month span in the spring of that year under the Obama administration. The AP traced the planes to at least 13 fake companies designed to obscure the identity of the aircraft and its pilots. That's the weird part of this that the Chuckster texted into us. Not only is it... yes, these are more than just these drones that are flying around that you can see at events and festivals. Uh-huh. These are planes, Brian. They're surveillance planes that are going around under the guise of the white vans that used to, you know, go down the street, and you're like, oh yeah, that's the FBI monitoring. They're just in that plane in that van down the road doing a sting operation. But now they've got planes that they're putting unmarked different companies on and surveilling these protests. And to me, that's wild that I did not know about this story. So I really appreciate you texting it in, Chuckster.
If you want another wonderful science fiction dive into this type of possibility and paranoia of that thing, I recommend Prey by Michael Crichton. Dude who wrote Jurassic Park and all those novels. And also TV shows, ER and all that stuff. Michael Crichton, Prey. It's about these, let's say you had drones, right? Let's say you had drones, let's say with a camera, or maybe like nanotechnology, maybe, you know, about the size of maybe the end of this pen, you know, a little drone that can fly up around the size of this pen. It's got a camera on it or whatever, and it can fly around. What if you had like 1,000 of those and they were all in the same algorithm and you can kind of move them around like a cloud if you were, maybe, you know, shape them into different things or, you know, have them go inside somebody's, you know, anywhere because they're tiny and small. What are the possibilities there? Who knows? But who gets to
determine
that? Who gets to wield this technology? Yeah,
that's the fascinating thing.
Luckily, half the people in the world don't care about who's their politicians. Welcome, everybody.
It is a Take Your Tangent Tuesday. Thank you, Chuckster, for texting that one in. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Give us a call, 844-967-2789.